The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
You know, I would say people use labels all the time, but I'm kind of a, look, traditional Catholic. I don't like, personally, I'm opposed to abortion, and personally, I'm opposed to the death penalty.
Are there regulations that should be on abortion?
Let me continue. I deeply believe, and not just as a matter of politics, but even as a matter of morality, that matters about reproduction and intimacy and relationships and contraception are in the personal realm. They're moral decisions for individuals to make for themselves. And the last thing we need is government intruding into those personal decisions. So I've taken the position, which is quite common among Catholics. I got a personal feeling about abortion, but the right rule for government is to let women make their own decisions.
Well, there's Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine speaking last month on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd, articulating probably as well as anybody else does this very well-worn argument made largely by pro-choice Catholics who say, no, I'm not pro-choice. I'm actually pro-life, but it's totally personal for me. I'm personally opposed, but the government shouldn't intrude in any of these questions. Well, it sounds reasonable. The guy at least says, look, I'm against it. I just don't think the government should do anything to stop it. How does that hold up if it isn't abortion, if it's some other subject that you're against, but you don't think the government should do anything about? When does that work and when does it not work? Joining us to talk about Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine on abortion and that argument, Scott Klusendorf, founder and president of Life Training Institute and author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. Scott, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Good to be with you, Todd.
How would you respond to Tim Kaine's statement, I'm personally opposed, but I think the government ought to stay out of any regulation on the subject?
Well, I'm going to ask him the same question that Lincoln put to Stephen Douglas, who essentially argued the same thing on slavery. Douglas said he was personally opposed to slavery, but thought each state should have the right to vote it up or down. So here's the question. Mr. Kaine, why are you personally opposed? In other words, if the behavior you wish to legally sanction is not evil, in this case, does not intentionally kill an innocent human being, why be opposed at all? And of course, the only reason to be opposed to abortion at all is because it intentionally kills an innocent human being. If morally it's no different than pulling a tooth, I don't care how many abortions a person has, and neither should Senator Kaine. And this is precisely the point that Lincoln put to Douglas, and it's time for the Catholic clergy to put that question to Senator Kaine.
It's a very simple question. It kind of presses the moral of the whole thing, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, because everybody, you know, I'm reminded of a quote from journalist Christopher Caldwell, who argued that the American public loves to condemn abortion with its words, but keep it legally available in case it needs it for some emergency situation, as they put it. And that's exactly what's going on here. He's trying to have it both ways. He's trying to freeload off a pro-life ethic without really being pro-life. And that is something people love to do. But here's the line of questioning for Tim Kaine. If I were interviewing him as a responsible journalist, Todd, here's the question I would start with. Were any of the 1.2 million abortions last year unjust? Now, if Senator Kaine says no, that means he's an extremist. If he says yes, then my question is, why won't you vote to stop them? Now, his response is, I feel pro-life sentiment. But Senator, feelings don't save lives. Votes do.
How do you respond to someone who says, well, you've compared this abortion to slavery, and the moral caliber of the two simply cannot be compared to one another?
Well, the critic would be absolutely right. They're not comparable if what? If the unborn are not human. But that's the question. Are the unborn human? If the unborn are human, intentionally killing them and treating them as property that can be disposed of is exactly the ethic that we had in place with slavery. Imagine someone saying, I personally oppose slavery, but if you want to own one, I don't think it's my business to have the government interfere in your private realm. I mean, we would think that abhorrent today. And yet that's precisely the argument of Stephen Douglas. That's precisely the argument of Tim Kaine on abortion. And both men lack a moral compass.
It's not exactly an argument. It's just a position. But let's just for the sake of argument, call it an argument. Is it one that in effect proves too much? Because I can slip just about anything into the blank space occupied by abortion, can't I?
Oh, sure. I'm personally opposed to spousal abuse. But if you want to beat your wife, that's your private business. I don't want the government intruding in the sanctum of your family. Pick any issue you want. And Lincoln's response to Douglas was, I think, spot on. Lincoln says, Douglas can't claim that if something's wrong, he wants it to be legal. He can't say that if he truly believes it's wrong. If he truly believes owning a slave is wrong, he can't just say, I don't care whether we vote slavery up or down. Lincoln's point was, if slavery is evil, if treating a man the way you treat a hog is morally problematic, you can't say, I want the government to stay out of that.
There is kind of a, for lack of a better word, libertarian bent to Kaine's argument. You know, it's not as though he doesn't want government to have a say or take an interest in all sorts of other things. But he seems remarkably libertarian when it comes to the government intruding into people's lives in this realm.
Yeah, it does. And here's the thing libertarians don't get. Libertarians, by and large, reject natural rights. Natural rights are pre-political. They do not exist because the government grants them. They exist prior to government, and it's government's job to recognize them, not grant them. When pro-lifers argue the unborn are human beings with a right to life, we are not saying government should declare them humans with a right to life. We are saying the government should recognize their humanity that exists prior to the political realm. And in that way, libertarians get it wrong because they tend to think, well, what we mean by pre-political is just government stays out of everything. But no, the government should take an interest in protecting natural rights and liberties. That's precisely what our Declaration of Independence says in no uncertain terms. That's why we broke with England in the first place. King George was not recognizing natural rights and liberties, and the colonists said enough.
Finally, here with about a minute, Scott, compared to the positions that are being taken by many in his party, the Democratic Party, about abortion, people walking around with I Heart Abortion T-shirts on and things like that. Well, Tim Kaine positively seems moderate on the issue. How would you respond to that?
Well, only moderate if you would take someone who said, listen, I'm not going to advocate beating my spouse. I'm not going to say I like it, but you know what? I'm not going to tell you you can't do it. If we think that's moderate on the issue of spousal abuse, then I guess we would think he's moderate on abortion. I don't think he ever saw an abortion he would vote against. And if you got a guy who's talking pro-life sentiment but voting in favor of abortion, and by his own words with the clip you just played, that is his position. He is going to keep abortion private, individualistic. He wants the government out of it. But here's the irony. He actually does want the government involved in abortion because he wants one branch of the federal government, the federal courts, to totally determine the issue for everybody else. In fact, he's quite comfortable with the federal courts saying to the legislative and executive branches, hands off. He's happy with Roe v. Wade. He's happy with Planned Parenthood versus Casey. He's happy with all the laws that are out there now that grant abortion rights. He doesn't want to repeal a one of them.
Finally here, the rhetoric used to be, and it seems so quaint to hear it now, that abortion ought to be safe, legal, and rare. And I've noticed that rare has fallen off the list there. Do you find this more and more with those whom you debate on the pro-choice side?
Oh, absolutely, because it's an indefensible position because it opens up to the question, why do you want it to be rare? Why should it be rare? If it doesn't intentionally kill an innocent human being, why do you care how many abortions there are? And I think they're finally realizing the only way they can move forward on this is to bite the bullet and take the position of feminist Katha Pollitt and say, we're going to argue for and demand abortion without apology through all 9 months of pregnancy, no questions asked. You've got British pro-abortionists like Anne Ferretti saying the whole developmental criteria where we say a three-week fetus has less value than a seven-month fetus is ridiculous. It can't be sustained. We need to just say it's a woman's choice, period, and offer no defense for it. So what you're looking at in the future is an argument, if you want to call it that, really just a raw assertion that matches the raw judicial power of the courts. And they just simply assert that a woman has a right to an abortion and don't even try to defend it.
Scott Klusendorf is founder and president of Life Training Institute, author of the book The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. You can purchase this book and find out more about Life Training Institute at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Scott, thank you so much. Keep up the good work.
Todd, you as well.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our new series, Worldview Watch, with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and we'll have Pastor Tom Baker teach us a Sunday school lesson on God providing manna and quail in Exodus chapter 16. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. I'll talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutherans talk a lot about doctrine, liturgy, and vocation, but as Martin Luther would say, what does this mean? In a book called Didache, Issues Etc. regular guest Professor John Pless brings together the Bible, the small catechism, and the hymnal to teach the faith. He shows how what we believe is expressed in our daily lives and in our worship. You can find Didache online at emmanuelpress.us.